This is Bob and Carolyn reading number 11, April 16th, 2009, at 4:07 Hawaii, 4:07 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening. Happy to have you back.
We've missed you. We've been great with you.
You can't miss us. There's no time.
And I understand, but it's a joyous co-creation. We don't get finished with one until we're excited about the next.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Okay, so I wanted to give a thought I had about the session last night about the Grand Wailea, the Solomon's Temple, the Knights Templar. I was thinking about the sort of warning that Ion gave about Grand Wailea. And just a second, I'm going to check the volume here on that. That's not maximum. Okay. I was thinking, I realized after that the Solomon's Temple, when the people started to realize they didn't need the veil, it weakened the power of the Solomon's Temple, and it may have collapsed. If you have to correct me on that, do that in a minute. I want to finish this thought here. And then the Knights Templars came along and they collapsed and the Vatican's collapsed. And so if we build a temple, we must remember not to make it a solid foundation that becomes sort of undemocratic and doesn't allow people to form their own temples as an idea anyways. I was thinking that the meaning, the warning was we don't identify with the temple and the role of our priestcraft in the temple and make it so solid that you then become elitist. Is that partly why? And if we did, we would set ourselves up potentially for it to be destroyed.
Correct, and those are right words. The rightness of it is from the aspect, why do you need a temple? And the reason you want a temple or asking for a temple is you wanted a geographically centered, geographic location in which to, so why do you need skyscrapers?
Ion speak up? JW to speak up?
Sorry. Why do you need skyscrapers? Why do you need, Taj Mahals? Why do you need, Versailles? Why do you need Westminster Abbey? Why do you need these, what you call, temples or ordained places? The Temple Mount, why are those Mecca, why are these specific things, you add all this attention to those specific things, because what we're actually asking, what you're actually talking about is this work is about activating the non-physical parts of physical human beings, which activates that co-creation and that alignment, which allows individual humans to find the fastest path to their joy without being cliche, but to activate that understanding that they could come to a place where they know that they indeed are the creators of their own reality. They are anyway, but to have it from a more positive standpoint of a actionary role. And some people, like Carolyn, say, show me the science. Okay? So if that becomes a geographical location where the science can indeed be witnessed, fabulous. But if it should be, like your Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing, it should just be the place where things are, you see. Because it's not going to be limited just to that geographic location. It's going to be kind of everywhere. And it's going to move about. We are going to move about. We are going to ebb and flow, you see. Just as the tide doesn't always come back to the exact same point, it will wax and wane depending on the energy that's flowing and the activation that's taking place, coming forth, you see. Russia is a very interesting place because they are closer to the only thing that ever really worked anyway because of their Kiskasay collapse, that they actually are in a much closer proximity of the vortex that causes a change in their reality. So, if that's true in the case, then you're going to have some precipitous or capacitor that makes this work available, resonating for them. You see? And it will anyway, don't worry, because you can't stop it, you see. The cries or the contrast is the driving part that allows the creator to consider a different feeling thought that allows them to come into the place where they have a causal effect on their individual manifestation.
Okay,
now,
fine.
That's in a quote, and you can use those words just like that. Now, what's your specific question?
Okay, yes, I've got that quote. With the representation of an example of a skyscraper, etc., you mean the new Solomon's Temple is going to be like a symbol. And is that true? Is it going to be like a symbol to have the new temple mount?
Yes, and that's correct. And that goes back to Bob's original question, was that we have to be careful that the foundation doesn't say that it can only happen here, or it only happens in this way, or the veils about, this is the part of the veil around the Grand Walaya that puts us in a position where you can only receive source behind the veil or at Grand Walaya, which is what Bob was saying, that would set up the pushing against, which would cause this new temple to yet be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You see? That was his point of the asking.
Yeah.
That's exactly correct and right. But now you have to realize, isn't it interesting? Don't you find it very interesting that the foundations of the Grand Walaya are built on sand?
Well, close below that is the lava stone.
Oh, yes, but they aren't to the lava stone. It is built on sand.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, and Peter, the great apostle, would say, never build your house on sand, as it will wash away. But if you're not focused on your foundation, then it really doesn't matter because you're not pushing against it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which brings full circle the very point that this house, this edifice, this thing is all about a representation of just, it's not the restaurant, it's just where you eat.
Mm-hmm.
You see? It's not the beach club, it's just where you relax.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the actual button you push, the easy button that allows you to access source.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be a resource. It can be a resource to those who are being activated and are activated, because it goes all the way back. You remember the play with Ethel Merman?
Mm-hmm.
What fun that was, and he was old when that was, and you don't get more tuned in than that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so as the historians go, lots of folks have been lined up with this same process that you're acting as though has never been portrayed before. It was just always buried from the tactile expedient reference that wasn't important. The Ethel Merman was just lucky because she could sing loud. She could belt out those tunes. No. It had very little to do with that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
George
mm-hmm.
Carlin was a fabulous comedian. Just absolutely blissed out at what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it. Mm-hmm. He loved that making fun. He loved that making people think. He loved that. The standard joke is he knew there was a God because he was a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to be fun because you don't have to take it so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, back to your question of the foundational references that go into this vibrational temple. Now, those are perfect words.
Well,
the vibrational temple.
Uh-huh, yes. Okay. Got it.
Now, did that clear that and make that easy to be cohesive?
Bob?
Yes? Are you ready? I'm still eating. Are you ready? Do I continue now, Carol?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
the insight that Zen Buddhism offered, or that the Buddha offered, or that Jesus offered.
Well, now they're too far of a stretch, but okay, go ahead.
Okay, the insight, the revelation, the liberation. Is there something different about what Ion and our scene is going to offer? Maybe it's because it's a different time, different technological environment, all that. Or is there something more complete in what we're offering than what Buddha and the great mystic teachers taught?
Oh, don't leave them out. Don't leave them out. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. The same issue that's been the issue since the Garden of Eden. The same issue that's caused Ishmael to get in his trouble. The same thing that divided him, Shem, and Japheth in the actual division of how things were. All those parts that are same part, it doesn't give the complete story.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give the wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announced it. Sinners, as you call them, with wonder receive it. It's the rest of the story, as your Paul Harvey would say. He tried to do that all his life. And that's the rest of the story. What we're going to do is we're going to allow them to have activated access. Wait a minute. Activated access to what? The teachings of Buddha. So the completion, the ascension, the reality of the ascension. It will be done vis-a-vis, not pushing against something. Okay, let's go to Jesus. Jesus, it had only one law. Love.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to love yourself. Learn how to love your brother. And if you get that, none of the other stuff matters. Because none of the other stuff will come in. You'll cease being murdered and murdered. You see? That takes that out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't be interested in murdering, and no one will be lined up in the proximity of being murdered. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have to wait on the rupture. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me, rapture. You won't have to wait on Jesus to come back, because you've already invited him to live in your heart. Why do you have a guest in your house that's already there, and why do you have to wait on his triumphant return?
Mm.
We find it very interesting that you would sacrifice your very giving of creation for the Messiah that's already here, that you worship and serve, that you can't have access to, because he's not yet returned.
It becomes
the completion of all those specific works. So therefore, in coming to this place, or this place is not a geographic place. This place is a place of knowing. And that can be everywhere. All right, here's that. I know you're going to interrupt. That's okay. But just let me get to this little part right here. It'll help that.
No problem.
Everybody qualifies. It's the work. It will be put over the door. And what will be put over the door, and what will be put over the door, in some form that will be, even if it thing blows up or is buried under a volcano, that it will withstand it. What will be over the door is, come ye whosoever will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If the seventh-day Adventists don't qualify, then you're eternally damned. If the Buddhists and the Deists and the Jesuses and the Muslims and the pick something, if they can't come and finish it and qualify for this spark of understanding, the completion, then nothing, it doesn't work for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The atheist, the Jew, the Gentile, the Catholic, we will pop a tent for the Pope if it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Scientologists? Especially the Scientologists.
Especially. Do you understand that in their world, and folks have spent their entire lives pushing against them, that's what caused these Christian Science reading rooms all over the country? Because they aren't pushing against anything. They're just saying, why can't you just be you? Why can't you be... So, what's wrong with the devil? Wait, what's wrong with anything?
So
we haven't judged you. We haven't said that you're not qualified. It's your Christian church that says you're damned to eternal hellfire if you come to our reading room, not us.
So you're saying the Christian Science people, they accept everybody, so they're flourishing?
They want everybody, and they're not pushing against much of anything.
Yeah.
And that's what becomes a palatable, false premise for many people to be attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that people are roaming around, why do you do anything? For the reason that you'll feel better in the doing of it.
Mm-hmm. Why are you calling it a false premise?
Because it's not complete. It's not correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The false premise is that in order for me to be right, you have to die.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so therefore, if someone pushes against you, if you go across the street and you open your own denomination
mm-hmm.
of the right way, well, it's also a false premise because it's not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
The right way is to come back from whence you started and look at the roots of what this is and come to the completion of the story, which is about love and acceptance.
Yeah, okay.
You see? Well, see, you don't understand. You don't eat pig. And the only way to Christ and the only way to heaven is to eat pig.
Mm-hmm.
The lard of pig, the snouts of pig, the tails of pig, the feet of pig. So if you don't eat pig, then you don't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds silly. That sounds ridiculous. And yet, to be accepted in the Catholic Church or to take communion, which is their high rite or ritual, you have to be them or you don't qualify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bam, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not sure. You were saying Christian Science, they don't push against, but they have a bit of a false premise, too?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not complete.
They still believe they're the chosen one.
Right,
sort
okay.
Of.
I got that.
Well, they are in that respect. That's not false.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're the chosen one and everybody else is damned,
yeah.
Houston, you've got a problem.
Oh, yeah, they have a real arrogance, the Christian scientists.
But when I say Scientology,
so do the Jews.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every religion has arrogance.
Yeah.
And remember, they were God's chosen people. Imagine that.
Oh.
Arrogant, which you have to be to come to that laudable conclusion.
Right.
Selfish creator.
I meant the Scientology is not Christian Science. Maybe you knew that.
Well,
no.
The other was better.
Christian Science.
Mm-hmm.
Better, yeah. I just meant by Scientology, any of these cults that have grown up this century, even they'll be welcome.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll reach out to them.
Okay. One little side thing. I noticed with Eduardo, at one point he was saying he finds it hard to put things into English. And Ed did not hear Ion's comment, which was, well, would you like to talk in another language?
Mm-hmm.
Ed did not hear that, but Ed can speak three languages. I wanted to add, you brought up a point. Can Ion respond to Italian, Portuguese, or Swedish?
If it's clearly the wanting or the asking of the questioner, okay? And let's say if it's used to build a bridge for them, then yes, you will get a form or dialect that would be in their understanding. It has to be, this isn't parlor tricks, okay?
Right.
So if you're going to do it for parlor tricks, the same reason that we offered, he didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. And that actually becomes, Bob, that you've had such fun with, that's your winning lottery number question.
Hmm.
What is it?
The asking that where we were offering to give a different language that would be easier for him to comprehend.
Yeah.
Just like they want the lottery numbers, but then when you say, okay, here they are, they spend 10 minutes telling you how they don't really want them. And just like we offered with him, he didn't even hear that as an option because that was not in his frame of asking. we're asking, the reason you're so successful at getting in communicating with us is because you get right down to it, and all you hold is you're asking, why is this? How is this? What do we do with this? What about that? Can I talk to this one? Why do they think that? And you're so pure in the asking that we have no choice but to constantly and forever, joyously, all day, every day, share in that which is your wanting.
Right? So that ion could, if Eduardo spoke in Italian, ion could respond in Italian dialect.
But not as a parlor trick, more as if Ed, as a foreign person, if he had to use a different language to express himself, and the wanting and everything of the question was in his asking.
Yes. It would be so very intriguing, because that would be a fun place where you will completely, and you got to be careful with this now, because you have the asking and the wanting. You can, oh gosh, hold on just a minute. That brought a fun place. It will be a pure representation of source energy through ion without JW. So that's going to be a new point of that occurring and happening. It's going to be block the thought that JW won't know the right vernacular. We do. And it'll be a pure run of that process, no contest. But you're going to lose JW in that aspect. All of JW that is would not be that part.
Right. Now, the asking a lottery number is a parlor trick, Carol?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, so that'll be fun. But that reminds me, maybe it's a time to...
It can be a parlor trick.
Right, right. That's all right. I get the distinction. But the, I mean, if we are all over the world in Russia, there are going to be people who just can't say English, don't know it. And if they're allowed to say their own language, that'll be a great new addition to mediumship.
Yes, but if it's not in their direct wanting, then they won't hear that that's even an opportunity.
Yeah.
What we would much rather enjoy, here's what we would enjoy. You're asking, that is what the basis of your question was it not?
Yeah.
The wanting, or the better way, would be to activate the non-physical resonance in someone else in that geographic area that would then be more received by that different dialect or people.
No, that didn't make any sense. I don't know what you're talking about there. Well,
then,
Carolyn?
Then Carolyn asked your question. Let's clear it up for Bob.
Well, I don't know if it can get any more detailed than if a person has to use the words to bridge. I think that the questioner would have to be mostly talking in English and just periodically use a foreign language. I don't know if the whole... could the whole session be in a foreign language?
Why couldn't some other human being, like your vessel JW, tap into non-physical pure source energy and be the standard or be the channel for that group or sect that would more receive them from their place of knowing?
Yeah, you mean get someone else in our operation to do that?
Well, they'll show up. You don't have to worry. They'll show up.
Right.
Just like we did for JW.
Right. Because
it makes sure we're clear with that, because I don't want to lose you. We'll spend an hour straightening it out, and then it'll be the tea tail all over again.
So you're talking about a translator being on site to be able to help out?
No.
Mm.
No. Not necessarily. Why can't the exact same words that Ion shares be shared in another someone in physical that has the same ability or wanting? Because you all can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we're
then what happens? They become welcomed in this Grand Wailayan temple thing, and they can participate and have their sessions and have their...
Oh, yeah.
Now all of a sudden it becomes a group of many, because so many times then we cry, we absolutely cry when everybody takes their life's work to eliminate everyone else's life's work.
Yes.
Why can't there be room for 1,000 mediums or 100,000 mediums?
Mm-hmm.
Or why can't everybody be a large instead of a small?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's room. Why is there a limitation? You take Ion's words and you take them and you plan them everywhere. You can be, do, or have anything you want to. Well, why can't you be, do, or have anything you want to if that's the case?
Mm-hmm.
You say. And you and JW and your beingness is not the end-all. It's just a wonderful spark that is activating in other humans. They're allowing them to come into their knowing. They're coming to their knowing to a place that they now get it. And as they get it, then their creations may not be our creations, but it may not even be within our wanting. But it can be a part, most absolutely, because it's whosoever will.
Okay, what if some of these new, tweaked-on individuals turn out to be charlatans and inappropriate and all that? How do we reckon that situation without becoming...
How does the world deal with that situation? Are you speaking of false prophets?
Yes.
How do they deal with... How do false prophets get dealt with? What's the requiem that judges a prophet?
Well, if people get annoyed by them, or if they're not correct, then it just falls away.
When do they get it wrong?
If they're not tapped in.
Well, and how long will that last anyway?
Well, Ashley, good point, because at the pseudo-temple, everybody's be so tapped in that if you're not tapped in, then it'll show up pretty quickly.
Won't take long, and we won't even have to be the judge.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we don't judge anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
We're there. It's good. The only thing you have to worry is when you're salting or brining your meat. All right? Now, when you're brining meat, now, Bob, I just left Bob, so Bob, enjoy your supper, Bob.
Mute
how
on.
Salty, how salty is too salty when you're brining meat?
Blah. Well, brining is total salt, so it's like 100% salt.
So how salty is that?
As salty as it can get.
And how salty is that? That's what you're asking. What if somebody comes in and they're different,
uh-huh,
and they're too salty?
Uh-huh.
What do you do with them? Okay, then we should sugar them. Well, if you add sugar, then guess what? It actually activates and makes it seem more salty.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, uh-oh, now wait a minute, what do I do with that? You see,
uh-huh,
it's not your work and it doesn't, it'll take care of itself.
Okay.
It always has.
Mm-hmm.
It always has, and the worst that you get is they'll start their own denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're creating an environment. We have nothing to prove. We have the resources to amaze them with what we provide when the source, communication, and the environment. And the rest are replication. Do what you want. If you want to start channeling, go ahead. Right?
Joel, absolutely, because guess what? That's what we're actually advocating, is it not?
Yeah.
You come into your knowing to be, do, or have whatever it is that you want.
I said on the radio 20 years ago that once Lockdown Bob Rule is what I used to call it, happened. And we're going to see a lot of channeling.
Yes, and that shows up different ways. Now look at that. 20 years ago, how many channels on your television did you have?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
No, how many? About 10, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
In a big area.
No, we were in Canada. Forget it. Three.
Yeah, well, three. Yeah, maybe we had a little more than three because we had a superstation, I guess, in your world by that time.
Mm-hmm.
But that aspect is, look at it now, how many channels you got. You got more channels than a human could watch if they took one day's programming,
uh-huh,
and had just one day's programming, be a lifetime.
Uh-huh.
He watched everything there was. So, yes, Bob, there's lots of channeling. Exactly correct.
I meant psychic channeling, but
what's the difference?
I don't think there is much nowadays.
Well, the words.
Yeah, I like Carol Sturm, the pseudo temple. As we build the pseudo temple. And then I would add, this is going to be a club, not Fed, not Club Med, but Club something.
Mm.
Club Source.
Club Dead.
You know, as a chain of places. You know what I mean? Oh, wait, you're laughing. You say Club Dead, Carol? That's a good word. I just got it.
We're not going to have any words regarding that because that is your creation. If we start feeding that little yeast infection, it'll probably manifest itself somehow. Read that one.
The good
please
joke.
Yourself are always our word.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Please yourself?
Please yourself.
Yeah, but it's a good joke. I didn't even get it right away. I was speculating on what I was trying to find. Yeah, Club Dead.
And calling it the Pseudo Temple and Club Dead is our way of just, you know, making it more fun and not making it serious and, you know, having some
well,
fun.
Bob's already put the whole thing in the highway to hell. What more do you say?
Yeah, Club Hell. Yeah. You know what's amazing is Sue Bone knows what I've said through the years on the radio. And she said today, it's incredible. If you actually manifested all this, you started talking about 20 years ago and it all happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was saying the other day, I created this or being counted. But I did matter. I did do a lot of mouthing about this, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And the mouthing didn't help one whit. Here's what helped, Bob. In your, when you came to 3-2-1, number one, you didn't care. Number two, you had no resistance regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
So what choice did it have but to come in the end? And yet you kind of seem surprised when what else, what other choice did it have but to become manifest in your world?
Wait, and did I get into 3-2-1 back then or recently?
That's all. You saw your is as a different experience than what it was.
Right.
And that allowed source energy to get a hold of it. And you didn't push or set the goal or set the thing. It has to be in, it has to be in 1986 because of 1986 is the year when it all changes. And enlightenment has to come in or you're never going to get it. And don't miss the rapture because you'll be in a bad shape of 1,000 years of terror and issue and problem. You never said all that. You were just rolling along with it. It was just a crapshoot for you too. But you had no resistance regarding it. And you didn't have what you call your I want to say your life on the line, but what do you call the thing? Your reputation wasn't going to be maligned over that because you didn't care. And so therefore it had no choice but to come into your experience. The same way with money, the same way with Carolyn Steve Pate.
Yes, and Carolyn sleeping with me.
Well, now they just mind your P's and Q's on that one, Dad, because that can change.
But it's, you know, when I think of it, Carol and I look back in our life, we always, it seems to me that we always were on duty and no day passed without some kind of significant thing happening. And that would just be our way of manifesting or our interpretation of the manifesting.
And you didn't care. See, that's when it's fun.
Right.
Now, Bob, when's the single best time to tell Carolyn that you love her?
Well, probably right now, but...
No. When is the very, very, very best of all time to tell Carolyn that you love her?
When I don't care what her response is.
Well, that's a good time. What's the best time?
When I'm not trying to get laid.
Well, that's also a good time. When's the best time?
When her hair is flat.
When her hair is flat, it's a great time. So
yeah.
It's the very best time to tell her.
Probably, I have no clue because I haven't told her yet.
Well, when you tell her, the very best time to tell her is before someone else does.
Okay, that's good advice.
The very best time. Because that's the point that all of a sudden it's are responsible for your joy.
Right.
You're going to be happy anyway. She knows that. You're going to be out lollygagging wherever Bob is, and so is Carolyn, and Carolyn's not worried about you, and it's all just fine because Bob's where Bob is, and I know Bob better than most anybody, and if anybody else wants him, they can have him. I'm good. from that standpoint, because you're going to have to feed him and take care of him. And
yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's kind of like, I'm pretty confident in my position, you see, because girls think about things a little different way.
I know. We've been here for almost a year. The one time Bob goes out with the OB to tell him to wear sunscreen and put his hat on, he gets burned.
Of course.
So he's trying to tell me he's an independent young man.
Well, Court's still out on that one.
Yeah.
What that does is that redefines and reestablishes Bob's enjoying of sharing his relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that little bit of contrast reminds him once again to put a little sunscreen on. Put a hat on, or just enjoy the sun. Take it in there. Take it all in. Pop it up. Go buck naked. That'll fix you right up. You won't forget your sunscreen then.
Yes, it reminds me. I've got to tell Carol I love her someday. I've got to remember to do that.
You can't do it now, because if you do it now, it's all set up. See, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You need to be watching and make sure you do it before someone else does.
Yeah.
That's what you got to worry about.
Yeah, I guess there'll be a lot of that happening once Carolyn gets a little more attention from Club Dead.
Club Dead.
That's a good joke.
And instead of having a marriage certificate, then you'd have to get a death certificate.
Okay, so they come and go, these questions, so I'm trying to remember. So what were we talking about before we went on this?
We're talking about different religions qualifying for participants. And that come ye that may, whosoever will.
Right. And it seems that it'll be implied, religion will be a theme, implied. If one
doesn't have, even the people who don't have religion are a religion.
Yeah. That's true.
Even the atheists who aren't a religion, that's a religion. Mm-hmm. Well, what are you? I'm atheist. Well, that's a religion.
Right, but when they read Thy Kingdom Come, they will expect certain stereotypes in a religious context, and they're going to find out there's no religion in the sense
of
thought.
Do you know which ones those are? Do you know which ones those are?
Which ones what are?
The stereotypes that are be needed in the book. Do you know what those are?
No.
Well, how do you know that they'll be expecting them?
Because of the title?
Yeah, Thy Kingdom Come.
Okay, then. Figure those out, and we'll make sure and include them.
Oh, yeah.
We will perfectly open any topic from Genesis, from Genesee to the Revelator himself.
Mm-hmm.
From Buddha, from any aspect that you want to develop and put in there, don't leave out a one. Heck, and we will run an exegesis on any scripture that you pick out of the good book. Pick one. Oh, and don't leave out the Apocrypha, and don't leave out the Maccabees, and don't leave out the Book of Enoch, and don't leave out all those other good books that didn't make the cut. Bring them all.
And also we'll talk about the Church of Science. And
sure.
Exegeted on scientific memes.
Sure.
Right. Okay, so
I got you back to what we were talking about.
Anything more about Buddha?
We got into the what happens if people starts channeling. I see, you know, and we don't judge it, and people are going to come and get excited and want to stay and live here, and they're going to be looking for the leaders for who's responsible for this. And if they're lucky, they might notice them going to the beach a lot. There's a kind of detached, not caring, and not aloofness, but charismatic detachment we're going to have.
That's exactly right. And then as you get more blissful, I don't know how we're going to keep you in your meat sack if you get
Yeah.
well, when I brought up the detached thing, James said, listening to Ian on the show yesterday, I when I first heard it, I thought, uh-oh, they're talking about you humans, your planet, sound like coming from another dimension, because I knew it was, so I projected that. Then I realized nobody knows that, and I thought, oh, it just sounds like a detached Illuminati guy, part of Bob's Secret Council 10 team. So I ran this by James, and he said, yes, the voice was casual, hip, nonchalant arrogance. That's the way they described Ian. He thought it was perfect. Casual, hip, nonchalant arrogance. The arrogance may not, I may not like that, but I thought that was the base. What do you think of that description?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's absolutely wonderful because that's all you respond to.
Yes.
That's all you respond to.
Hmm.
That's the stereotype of total suaveness. Suaveness.
Well, if somebody's not confident in themselves, you don't listen to them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they get really, really humble, like, Jesus, look what you did to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you must remain casual, hip, nonchalant, arrogant. Okay.
And he come back and said, try me, says the Lord of hosts. Isaiah did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but he was just channeling. That's okay.
Ah, that brings up the point. I was thinking yesterday that it seems most religions, most inventions, most human culture seems to involve mediumship. Not just someone doing it constantly, but that there's a medium. Is
Where
that
do you think
close?
The ideas come from?
Well, they come from us, but they do
well,
come
no,
from...
they don't. They come from your interaction with non-physical. But non-physical can't bring them to fruition.
Right.
Oh. So if you have that activation with someone who can line up in a resistanceless or very light resistant position, and they have a wanting or an asking, and that wanting or asking then becomes a contrast, and then that contrast moves them closer to the vibrational vortex of that reality, and then Bill Gates invents the PC.
Right.
And it's pretty much like that every single time.
Right, and it's not that Bill went to a medium. He made himself a medium.
Well, he just acted, and see, the medium is even a false word.
Yeah.
It's a good word, but it's a false word, because why wouldn't you just call it activating the non-physical part of you? Or, I prayed, and I asked God for a sign, and then God gave me a sign, and that's when I knew that that was the place that I needed to be, that I needed to move to cross the River Jordan to the Promised Land. Even though I knew the giants lived over there, those Canaanites were rough. That was the Promised Land because I asked God and he told me that that was my promise, the land of milk and honey. You see? That's what, how that works.
Yeah, mediumship is activating joy.
It is indeed that. It is, and that can be for all. So you don't have to come sit at the feet of Ion to figure that out. But if any work that your askings bring forth that activates in a human being that their ability and capacity to have a plausible causal effect on their manifestation, wouldn't the heavens then rejoice?
Mm.
Surely the angels must begin to sing.
So, if you have something to say, Carolyn? I'm going to carry on. But...
No, I'm good. It's going well. You're not letting Ion fall into the abyss.
I may with this next point. What was
good? Because the questions are clearer.
Yeah.
See
yeah.
The flow?
Yeah.
The flow that it's from the next step, next step, next step. And there's not any resistance. And it's getting it as you go so you don't have to have a T-tail.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a T-tail?
Oh, that's our joke about we... used a metaphor about tea, and it turned into this huge diatribe that could make a book. So we're trying to stay away from the tea tails.
That's a diatribe,
yeah.
A rambling, an imprecision, or not sure.
Yes. Yeah.
387 words.
Of tea.
Okay. But this whole point about how it's getting more clear is relevant, because I go back to a point when I was more confused.
What was good? Because the questions are clearer.
Yeah, the flow.
That it's from the next step, and there's not any resistance, and it's getting it as you go, so you don't have to have a T-tail.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what's a T-tail?
Oh, that's our joke about we used a metaphor about T's, and it turned into this huge diatribe that could make a book. So we're trying to stay away from the T-tails.
That's a diatribe, yeah. A rambling, an imprecision, or not sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
387 words.
Okay, but this whole point about how it's getting more clear is relevant, because I go back to a point when I was more confused. It seems what you just described about mediumship and activating joy and how, where do ideas come from source, but they can't implement them, we do that, then that is the realm where the ideas come from, and our idea as a kind of left source and on the way to the physical is the zone, what we were talking about in an early session of antimatter.
Yes, but Carolyn won't let us talk about antimatter now. It doesn't apply at this moment, so you have to leave that part out. Here's what does apply. When you live your life, that you evolve, live your life, and you have desires, wantings, that are not made manifest, you don't allow them to become in your reality, and you leave physical form, that's what's called in your escrow or your unrealized creations. When you croak, those go into the gulf. So therefore, they come to us. And then when the new souls are choosing to come forth, they're bringing parts of the new unrealized creation. And that becomes part of their reality. That they come in this point of having, that's why the babies are cable ready. That's why technology is moving not just A plus 1 plus 2 equals 3. It becomes an exponential form of that. You're now ahead of your textbooks in your schools. That's how that is. It just keeps getting better and better and better and better and better. That's why it comes from non-physical.
Okay, so
did we clear that, Carolyn?
No, we definitely. The
it was an answer, a very good answer, but no, I don't think to Bob's question.
Yeah, I've heard that answer many times, so I understand.
But you asked that you said that the ideas come. We said that the ideas come from non-physical, but you have to create. You have to think them. Well, you think them because you got them when you came forth from the Gulf. Because it's the exponential increase from those humans who have coped with very large escrows or many, many, many unrealized creations.
That brings up the question. Are Bob's unrealized wantings particular to him, or they are all of the unrealized stuff that's not realized, and every one of us has the same unrealized stuff, and that's the escrow. It's what hasn't been created yet. Or is there a particular unrealized things that a particular...
Just ask one question, Bob.
No, he's okay with this particular one, because the answer is yes.
Yeah, and I went or, so I don't know which party's answering.
Both. You have individual Bob unrealized creations.
Right.
Right now. You already have them that not one person on the planet has wanted to create but you.
Right.
And those are unrealized. Okay. You also came from source energy, which brought a lot of other unrealized creations in those escrows that also became part of you. And you also can share, I said can, you can share many of those same revelatory experiences or creations. So, yes, individual you have things that haven't been created yet, but you're still kicking. Well, you're already dead, so you can create as you want to, you see?
Yeah.
Because you can still realize those and allow those to come into your experience. not everybody's experience, but in your experience. You know, if they have those same longings, wantings, and desires, then they also can experience it in their physicalness, but they don't have to. So it may be that their grandmothers all over the world waiting on the rebuilding of this temple in the Grand Wilaya to complete their life story. You see, and they don't necessarily even have those words or that reality, but they certainly can experience it if it is their wanting.
You say they didn't have those words or reality. Do they have the image of the Grand Wilaya, at least?
Well, maybe, maybe not. Depends. They may just see it as a really peaceful tree with a swing where they can go and enjoy the breeze.
And that's a Grand Wilaya.
Okay, in the Gulf, we're, okay, are people born with their unrealized wantings or do they add to them as they live on Earth?
Yes.
Both?
Yes. And it's the dipper. In the dipper, when they dip a soul,
yeah,
it has a great, the escrow has been increased because so many people are not realizing their manifestations.
Yeah.
So their escrows are huge. So it used to, when an Egyptian slave left their meat sack, all they wanted was plenty of food and water and not to be beat to death.
Mm.
Okay? Or can we not get Pharaoh's tomb done in time? See, so it was not a huge, vast expanse. Now, you've got to, people are croaking, wondering if they ever got their 2,000 emails answered.
Mm-hmm.
And, or every other thing, you see.
Yeah, did they get on American Idol?
And when? Exactly right. And can I just have one night with Paula Abdul? Because it gets so exponential that the dipper, when you dip a dip out, when the dipper dips the dip out of the Gulf, then it pours into and makes a new soul, you have a part of those unrealized creations that's part of you, and that's what makes you more cable-ready, okay? So you have those, but you also then at that point start experiencing your own contract in the physicalness that is you, which then can take those and bring them to fruition and make them even grander and greater because it exponentially is getting larger and larger and larger.
Got it. Okay.
We need to spell what you say exponentially. I think you mean exponentially. Would ionics, because this word comes in, we're not spelling it right. As you say it. It doesn't
exponent. An exponential. An ex.
There's no such word in English.
Well, then there needs to be.
Yeah.
Carolyn already said we make new words. So,
why not exponent with an N? Exponentially, that's the correct way to say. Then why are you putting the D in?
To please yourself, but it's an X in it. Please yourself.
No.
Exponential with a D is a word, and it is.
Exponential in the dictionary is defined as what, Carol?
It's a mistake.
Oh, there you go.
This is a major mistake.
And since you can't get it wrong, so it's an exponential problem.
Yeah, so exponentially is the meaning, but you like to say exponentially. It could be a Finneganese pun in there in the sense that we go on an expedition, and we make it an exponentially increasing expedition as we arrive more and more.
Because we never get it done, and
yeah,
we can't get it wrong.
Right.
And it may take you another eon to figure that one out, but that's okay. You've got time.
I got it.
Well, there's an exponential in trigonometry, apparently.
And what's it defined as?
Trying to find it.
And how are you spelling it?
Exponential.
Yeah, exponential. Is there a mathematical term, Carol?
No, it's still a mistake, yeah.
So it's exponentially is the term.
Yeah, Bob wins.
And I know
he's the creator.
Yes, mm-hmm. Now Ion can only make the mistake. You can't create. But here's the thing.
You'll be sure to add that to your dictionary and your spell check on your computers. Because
exponentially, yeah.
So
yeah.
Now we've
So now,
wait a minute. The point is, you say it many times in the private readings, and
yeah.
they're going to wonder what's being said. We need to say what they mean from our side.
When
but,
they ask us.
Yeah. The other thing they might ask, that we didn't finish, this is what we didn't finish. So if someone, we start getting known, someone calls from Russia and says, does your medium speak in Russian? Right now, we don't have much others. What do we say to that question?
You say to that question, is no, he communicates in English, okay? But if it is your wanting and you are very clear with your question, you can have an experience that will activate the non-physical part of you successfully that you would, if it is your wanting, be able to understand.
What? No, we'll Ion speak in Russian to them.
No.
Oh, they will be able to understand even though it's in English and they apparently can't understand English.
Well, how are they going to communicate that to you if they don't understand English?
Yeah, how are they going to tell me that they have a problem? So they're going to have to speak in English.
Correct. And that's the point where you say, well, let's play, and the next thing you know, they'll be able to do it themselves. If it's successfully activated, we can put them on the ESP network and they'll figure it out.
But, so the Russian person comes, tries to speak English, gets real frustrated, and blurts something out in Russian, and Ion might respond in Russian.
If it's there, rarely under those circumstances, but in another circumstance where there's no resistance,
mm-hmm.
then likely, yes, that would absolutely be their experience.
Ah, which then brings, I have so many questions that whiz through that I forget them. What was the language that I spoke in the first few sessions? Suddenly went into Tamawanalea kind of syllables. And
oh, right.
I think we asked what language was that, and they said, well, you can ask again later. Is this the time to ask?
It would be the best words that you used. It would be, it's a combination of a mystery of a language that is older than time. Now, your Christian faith sometimes would call that in the language of the angels, and your Egyptians would call it before the Pharaonic rule.
Yeah.
And the others would absolutely say that it was Atlantean. Or some others might just know that they have the Sanskrits from the Sumerians.
Mm-hmm.
And others would come into the place of understanding and that would be able to understand it. So that'll get clearer as you go, but that's all used for barbecue right now.
Right, that's the original language.
Yeah.
Right, there's a myth in literature, Carolyn, of, I think Umberto Eco wrote about it recently, this book, The Search for the Original Pure Garden of Eden kind of language, or the language that Adam spoke.
Mm.
That's what you're getting at, I
think. So we heard it.
Yeah, we heard it. We have it on tape.
That's available. And you can come to a...
Wait, when you say that's available, what do you mean? That
we can ask Ion for it.
Anytime.
Oh, okay. And then you start to say...
Well, I forgot.
Yeah, you said that's available, that's available, but then you started to complete that thought.
I know, and I forgot.
Well, the main point is with understanding that it's available, which we got.
It's available, and it becomes a oneness, meaning your alphabet that makes up English.
Yeah.
Which is silly at the very best.
Yeah.
Your Hebrew, which is backward, literally read from back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Your Aramaic, your Greek, that's Greek to me. Your, all these different languages that have spawned off of other languages are nothing other than your increased ability or capacity to make your understanding known only to yourself.
They're the increased capacity to limit it to yourself.
Correct. So the Greeks had a language because the Syro-Phoenicians couldn't have it, so they couldn't understand it.
Mm.
Well, then they learned it. Well, then they now there's no mystery.
So it was a separating factor.
It was a separating factor.
Which comes into a theme brought up, I think, last night or the night before, the Tower of Babel. Let's talk about that.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly correct. And what that was supposed from your good book was an exasperative expanse of dividing of the tongues so that they would not be able to create a tower that would reach the veil and enter into heaven. So there must have been a fear from your Almighty God that humans had the creative ability to indeed build a tower that would pierce the heavens. Otherwise, why would the penalty clause been enacted that would distress them of being able to speak a language that they each could understand? Which is where the word Babel or to Babel came from.
Right, the last phrase is, why would it stress the God that people could speak a language they could understand?
No, why, it wasn't about that. They all spoke the same language in Babel.
Okay.
They only spoke Babel. They spoke Babylonian. Babel. Right?
Right.
And they decided, because they realized that they were the creator of their own experience, and they actually experienced God in their lives, and they had non-physical, pure, positive source energy flowing in them, that they became one-minded with a manifested degree or a wanting. They wanted to build a tower that would reach to God, okay? That would reach to heaven. Because in their early teachings, it was that God was up here, way up high, and that man was here where they were. I don't think they had developed quite hell yet, but they were working on it. Then they came into a place where they realized that they could indeed create that. Well, they started building this tower, and it got so high in the stories from the scriptures that it affected or ascended God, that these marvelous creators, being all-powerful, could create such a thing that he caused them to fall into a state of non-communicative skills.
Right.
So they all started speaking a different language. And nobody could understand what the other person was saying. And when they couldn't understand what they were saying, they had to forfeit the building project.
Got it. Now, the false premise is that we are taught that God does not want us to experience it.
That's correct.
And that's
very good.
Yeah. And again, there's the block created by the Rahi priests. Did we ask this? Where did the word Rahi come from? R-H-Y-E-E. It was channeled through Ralph Dubey and David Worster through something came through called Cosmic Awareness.
Yeah,
and it said the original separateness was Rahi. Is there such a reality to that concept?
Well, it was created, you see. It's like exponentially. It was created.
By Ralph Dubey.
And it was given a new meaning. Okay? And it meant to make a mistake. But then all of a sudden they realized that you couldn't make a mistake, so it became a new word, had a new meaning.
Right, but was it created by them, or is it something way back in our history? The word
was created by them.
Okay. And if man...
Now. Okay, now wait, now be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful. The definition of Rai, okay, is as old as time. But the naming of recognizing this condition of Ra'i was developed by them.
Right. Now, here's what's interesting. On February 14th, 2009, I bought a map of Captain Cook's journeys back in the 1770s and 80s.
Yes.
And then it had a smaller map of Hawaii, and it charted his journeys going from discovering each island, backing forth in this direction. But the big island called Owhyee, meaning Hawaii. It's spelled O-W-H-Y-H-E-E. O-W-H-Y-H-E-E. It's the first time I've seen a word that was approximate to Rai. Now, Ralph Doobie, in the Cosmic Awareness Cult Mythology, died in Hawaii, and when he died, the Rai returned to the plane of essence and ended the separateness. The veil was no longer there. And he did it in Hawaii, so I come here after publishing an article on Rai, and I see the word. I've always wondered where it came from. I'm thinking, oh, maybe it came in from Huna, came from Hawaii. That was a thought pattern. Could I comment on that pattern of thought?
Sure. It could be the defining reality that is that yay. But it's more you find a definition and then you attach a word to it.
Right.
And the exponentially thing that you went over earlier is another perfect example of just that.
Yeah, finding a word.
You find the word to match the meaning.
Right.
And the meaning, you do that, that's what Noah Webster then picks up on, the lexicographer, and picks up on and makes it part of his unabridged dictionary. It also means this.
It also means this?
For example.
Whatever your new meaning is.
Okay. Well, listen to this. So, Ion is correct. Their definition of Rai as the first separateness came out of a mistake that Rai made. Rai made a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't need a judge, but he made a judgment. And that was a mistake. So the paradox of we made a mistake and realized we didn't have to make a mistake is how Ion defined Rai. That's exactly correct.
So you must be exponential.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Must be exponential.
What must be the word?
Joke.
It's exponential. Gotcha. Now,
timing is everything, Bob. You got to remember that.
Yeah. Now, here's as I look
coming from the timeless, isn't that fun?
Yeah. As I look at the map, though, which was published in England in 1789, or I don't know the date. Somewhere's I thought on here, in 1780s, but. And the interesting thing is, as I look at it, it can show, have Ion look at this chart, Ion, you can see it, and it's, you know, 200 years old, but the spidery lines of Cook's travels all around the planet, coming and arriving at Hawaii and all his other adventures, it looks like it can be the visualization of our moving our temple around the world, retracing Captain Cook.
Because you see, it wasn't many moons before that. They thought the land was flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.